Everyone, as Richmond has said, we're beginning a new series of talks on living for God in a new land. And today I'd like to start by talking about Abraham and calling this the Great Spiritual Migration. The Great Spiritual Migration. You're about to go on a journey. It's all very exciting. You buy some guidebooks, you make your plans. You even start learning a few phrases of the language. The day finally arrives and you board the plane. After what seems an age, the plane lands. "Welcome to Thailand," comes the announcement. "Thailand," you say? "I thought I was going to South Korea." But there's been a change in the flight plan. You've landed in Thailand, and here you must stay. So now you must go out and buy some new guidebooks, learn a different language, and try to adapt to a culture you weren't expecting. It takes a while, but over time you begin to adjust to a place you never expected to live in. And you realise that if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Thailand, you may never be free to appreciate the special things about living in South Korea. Anticipating one thing and landing up in a completely unexpected situation can happen in many different ways on our life's journeys. And that's happened for all of us over the last 18 months. Let me tell you a story from our own family. Some years ago, our daughter Amanda gave birth to a little girl with severe disabilities. Emma was born totally dependent on full-time care and had a very short life expectancy. It was never easy, often distressing and exhausting for Amanda and her husband, but they knew God was with them in their journey, often in little and surprising ways. With help, they were able to care for Emma for the 5 short years of her life. It wasn't what they were expecting, but they learned to adjust and find God's grace in the midst of it. I imagine all of us have faced unexpected situations, for better or worse, that we could never have anticipated, but have had to adjust to. Well, when our children were young, we moved to Nairobi. We were there a while, and then shortly after our return, well, within 9 months, coming back from Nairobi, we were in Niagara Falls. That's quite a change of culture, isn't it? From Kenya to Canada. A few years later, we moved to Vancouver. That's 2,000 miles the other side of the country. And eventually, Jan and I came back to be closer to our elderly parents, our children staying in Canada. Life is full of unexpected twists and turns. And as I say, that's something we've had to get used to for this last couple of years. Okay, let's go back in time. Let's imagine for a moment you are back 4,000 years ago in the Middle East. You're a wealthy landowner with servants, camels, sheep and your other livestock. You've been married for many years. You're now in your early 60s and are well known and respected in the community. All your life you lived in bustling, sophisticated cities, Ur, then Haran. Advanced for their day, with their markets for trading and temples for the citizens to worship their gods. Then one day, without warning, something happens which turns your life upside down, an encounter that will change not just your own life and family lives, but will shape the whole of world history. Now, let's just look at this journey that Abraham went on. The story of Abraham Abraham is told in Genesis 11 to 25. And it begins with this momentous journey. His name, Abraham, means great father. Sadly, irony, since now in his 60s, he still had no children. The readings we've just had read relate to these, his encounters. God revealed himself to a man who had no previous knowledge of him. We could say that God came to a pagan living in a culture steeped in ungodly customs, beliefs, and values. After another significant encounter with God, Abraham was given a new name, an identity. Now, Abraham, father of a multitude. He would become a towering figure, honoured not only by Judaism and Christianity, but also Islam. Up there with Moses and David in terms of importance, in terms of the Old Testament history. Now, centuries later, as we read the biblical account about Abraham and his family, we face a challenge. It's easy to think we know what they have understood about God. But we can't just assume that the pagan practices and beliefs that Abraham and his family had been steeped in would have simply fallen away as they embarked on their journey of a lifetime. Any more than we can assume that old habits fall away from someone who just becomes a Christian. It takes a while. So Abraham is on a physical journey, hundreds of miles, but he's on a spiritual journey of discovery also. And that's going to be of even greater significance than the physical travel that he does. So that's why I'm calling it a great spiritual migration. Each encounter Abraham had with the Lord would increasingly inform him of God's character, his authority and power. Abraham's faith was formed and developed on that journey. Now, I'd like us to look at a few references in the book of Hebrews. This is what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 8 onwards. By faith, Abraham obeyed when called to set out for a place that he was to receive as his inheritance. He set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So, called by God, Abraham is on a quest. Ur and Haran were both advanced, culturally sophisticated city. But Abraham was looking for a different kind of city, a new type of civilization, according to God's design. He wasn't just trying to escape a mean city and find peace and quiet in the country. He was looking for a new way, for a different type of society, not founded on greed and power and violence. Abraham was not looking for a city in heaven. He was looking for a city from heaven. Abraham was looking on earth for something that would come from heaven. He was looking for God's city to come, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We go on to read in Hebrews. All these died in faith, without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. The people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. So, Abraham was called to leave behind everything familiar and travel into the unknown. His journey would take him through new lands, often hostile and forbidding places, to people groups whose language and customs he couldn't understand. I wonder, did he ever look back and long for the good old days, the old customs and practices, routines and rituals? I tend to think that he was more focused on looking forward, intent on the vision God had given him for the future. Unclear and partial as it was, Abraham lived with a great deal of uncertainty, but his heart was set on pilgrimage, as we read about in Psalm 84. In it all, Abraham often questioned and challenged God, wrestling with him verbally. This was part of his spiritual migration. Abraham was often tested and didn't always understand God's instructions on the way. But through it all, he never gave up. And he had his share of shame and failures. Okay, now, what's all this got to do with us? In the last year and a half, most of the world has experienced major disruptions to our normal patterns of life. It's a turbulence which may well continue for some time to come. We've been on a journey. Some have used the words deconstruction or dismantling or a shaking to describe the times we're living in, both for the world and for us as the church. I wonder if we, like Abraham, can see this opportunity for the church of Jesus to be guided by God into new lands rather than seek to get back to how things were before. You hear people say, I wish we could go back to how things were. No, it's not going to be like that. We may not be asked to travel hundreds of miles as Abraham was, but I believe the church in these times, like Abraham long ago, is being called to undertake a great spiritual migration, to leave behind the securities and certainties we've got used to and sometimes relied upon, to travel where we've not been before. After deconstruction comes rebuilding, or perhaps to use a new word, reframation, a reframing and reprioritizing of those things that are most important. The turbulence of the last year and a half has been traumatic for so many people. Loss of life, loss of income, loss of employment. Our health has suffered. Our timetables have been massively disrupted. We've missed out on times with family and friends. Church life has changed more than we've ever known it. And things that once seemed certain have been up in the air. It's been hard to plan. No wonder the toil on mental health has been massive and the sense of isolation and loneliness. And none of us have been exempt from this. Now, God certainly wasn't the author of this pandemic or the economic uncertainty that we're going to face for another 18 months or more as we lurch from one emergency to another. But God certainly wants to squeeze good things out of all this bad stuff. So the challenge we face individually and collectively is to see where God is in it all. Like Abraham, when God called him, we don't know where it will all end. Like him, we have to live with uncertainty, and it takes faith to live with uncertainty. Like him, we too are looking for a city. The challenge for our leaders, and we must pray for them, both in the government and also our leaders in the church here. We must pray for them for wisdom and grace to see how this impacts us all and what new forms and structures, wineskins to use Jesus's analogies, are best suited for the next season ahead. New priorities, fresh goals, but confident that the Lord will guide us and be with us. Like Abraham long ago, we too need this vision from the Lord and his prophetic promises for the future. We need to hear and respond in obedient faith to his instructions. So here's our challenge today, the great spiritual migration. Are our hearts, like Abraham's, also set on pilgrimage? As Abraham's sons and daughters, I'll be ready for the journey ahead. We can't go back to the way things were. That's not an option. The way we do church has changed and will change again over the coming months. The way we meet, the way we do things is changing. It's evolving as we're adapting to the Lord's leading. I'd like to close by praying for us all as this journey has taken its toll on us, each of us, and as we live with the uncertainties of the future. So let's pray together.